Hi, I'm hopping on here by myself because my usual helper is busy over at Proverbs 31 for Christmas season. So I miss Jessica today, but I'm just here to talk about what we would have talked about together. And that is, why can religion not find itself satisfied in God? And what is it about religion that actually robs us of God when everything's done in the name of God and supposedly for God? I'll just a short story to illustrate my point is just this humorous story of a young woman who wanted to be married and sat in her home waiting on God, obviously not really positioning herself to be found, or definitely, that religious stigma against online dating apps, even Christian ones, just basically sitting in the name of contentment. Well, she gets so desperate that she starts daydreaming about a thief falling through the roof of her house, trying to get in to rob her, and he takes one look at her and decides to love her instead of rob her. So we can laugh at that and say it's humorous, but I really think that we put ourselves in those positions when we allow religion to impose on us things that God is not saying, that God is not doing. Our humanity becomes caged in almost a cult-like view of asceticism, where we deprive ourselves and deprive our natural God-given desires and God-given needs. And in turn, our humanity starts screaming out to be uncaged and unleashed and to be able to express itself. And I've seen a lot of religious groups impose things on people that's not in the Bible. And what happens is the rules create perversion in people that's sometimes worse than what a non-Christian or a complete atheist would even want to do and live out. And that's because one of the worst things we can do is to pretend we're not human and to spiritualize ourselves to the point where we stuff down and we squelch and we pretend our human needs and desires do not exist. And when we do that, we fabricate a quote contentment and spirituality that is not holy at all. It looks like depression, robotic living. It looks like a joyless atmosphere. And in the worst case scenarios, like I said before, it looks like then desperate young people living out sin that quote normal people in the world would not even live out. So I'm here to talk about why is that, and why can religion not satisfy itself in God, and how can we remain satisfied in God and live a holy life without doing what I just described? How can our satisfaction in God lead us to abundant life and to rivers of living water and to joy? And scriptures full of the joy of the Lord is our strength, and his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And so I want to just give an example of my own life with that. When my husband left, I couldn't deny my need for love. When he went off with a 16-year-old girl, I couldn't deny that I needed him to be faithful to me, and I needed to not be alone with four kids. And so being satisfied in God at that moment did not mean pretending that I was so satisfied in God, that I was so quote spiritual, that I wasn't devastated, because I was devastated. And I had human needs that were no longer met. Women are not meant to be left alone with four children. That's a burden on their shoulders that they're not meant to carry. So being satisfied in God at that time in my life, though, meant acknowledging my human need, but finding him in that space where it was not met. And so what I'm talking about in this video is not reaching out for a sinful replacement of what was taken from you. So I could have started drinking too much or using drugs or dating, premature dating. And I remember people would tell me, they'd be like, go out and find yourself a hot date. You know, he's gone and he's with somebody else. Like, what are you doing? Just sitting here being a mom. Like, and I would say, I'm a married woman. I can't, I don't want to date. I am married. And so in that season of my life, being satisfied in God meant finding God's will and saying yes to that, because I knew that when God says no to me, it's not to deprive me, it's to invite me to something better. And so the hardship of that season, there was grace for that. And there was joy in that. And there was peace in that. Yes, there was lots and lots of tears and a lot of difficulty and exhaustion and having to reach out to many, many people around me for help and just to receive the support I got during that time. But there was grace for that hard thing because God himself asked that of me. That was not religion. That was not extra biblical. That was not twisting scripture to impose some sort of holiness onto me that God wasn't asking. I knew what God said in his word, and I knew that I had to obey it, and I wanted to obey it because my love for God ran deeper than my own happiness. So there you have an example of something hard. Now let's say, you know, perhaps there's a young girl or a young man with just a desire for marriage, and they are trying to, quote, satisfy themselves in God by being, quote, content, and they just bury themselves in work, and they ignore the longings of their hearts. They tell themselves they're not spiritual enough if they have those longings, and they don't position themselves to be found. They don't pursue finding a mate. They don't, engage in places and people where they could actually meet people. They don't actively pursue the longings of their hearts. And I would say that's religion. Like when you try to impose just being content looks like sitting on your hands doing nothing. I've seen girls do this a lot, and I've seen Christian girls basically sitting at home crocheting doilies waiting for a knight in shining armor to come knock on the door. And they struggle and struggle and struggle for a lot of years to try to find contentment and meaning in their self-inflicted version of holiness that maybe their dad has taught them was holy, but God didn't, you know? And they deny their humanity in an effort for spirituality. And I'm here to say that's not spiritual at all. Like there's so many areas in life where we have a part to play. When I started publishing books, I was nervous. I was scared. I started writing just because God would give me downloads and it would come out. It was in a very, very difficult season of my life. And it would just blow out. I couldn't keep it in if I tried. So I just wrote my heart out. And it was only later that God said, I felt God speaking to me that it was supposed to turn into a book. And what I couldn't do was just sit there and wait for some agent to notice my writing on my blog. That's happened before to people. That's wonderful. But I had to pick up my phone, scared out of my mind, pick up my phone and call a publishing company and actively pursue the dream and the vision and the longing that God had in my heart to write and to not just write and keep hiding it on my laptop, but to write and to, I knew that God wasn't giving me those downloads just for me. He was giving me those downloads because he wants to say something. God wants to do things. And so if he's put a longing in your heart for something, it's probably something that he wants you to reach out for and he wants you to position yourself for. I could have just sat in my house and focused on my kids and kept writing and hidden all those files on my laptop. I could have had four or five books on my laptop throughout the years. because writers write, they can't help it. It's just what they do. And then I could have just left it and waited and prayed and like, God, why aren't you sending someone who wants to publish my stuff? But no, God put that desire in me. And then he led me to call a certain publishing company and he put all the pieces in place, but I had to move in line with what he wanted to do. And so when you have longings and desires, don't spiritualize them. Don't just, especially for women, like the temptation is to hide behind our dishes and our kids. And if we have a husband, even our husbands, you know, but God has beautiful, wonderful things he wants to do through us and in us. And so I had to pick up that phone and make that phone call, and I had to work with her, and I had to, you know, even alter what I wrote for her and turn it into something different and let her have it and trust her with it. There was so much out of my control. But what I did not do was just sit there and wait for it to happen. And I moved in line. And so what I want us to take away from this is that hard is not always holy. Waiting on God looks sometimes like moving with God. And so we miss out on abundant life when we think that hard is holier than seasons of joy and delight and pursuing a deep longing of our heart and positioning ourselves for that to happen and positioning ourselves in line with the longing that God's placed in our hearts. It's very different than like sinful pursuit of our own happiness. I'm talking about a joy that's in sync with what God's doing. It's like a dance to the rhythm that God is already writing the music for, you know. And when God writes the music for something, you're not being holy by sitting there and disengaging from something that he's putting in your heart to accomplish or to do or to position yourself for. And so the only holiness is to live in line with who God's created us to be and what he's put in here. And the only time the hard thing is the holy thing is when he's asking that of us, like he did with me. When my husband left, I looked to him alone for my source of love and comfort. And I did that for a very, very long time because I knew that that was the heart of God for me. And so there was grace for that. There was growth in that. There was very, very difficult time, but there was so much growth in that season and it was blessed. And so it was very different than a stagnant, dormant, robotic life that I had inflicted on myself. And so when God asks you to do the hard thing, there's so much grace, there's beautiful lessons in it. But when he's not asking you to do the hard thing and you self-inflict hardship on yourself in an effort for holiness, you are turning yourself away from the gifts of God, away from abundant life, away from stewarding what he's placed in you, and really depriving yourself and others of the joy that he has for you. So that is all I have. It's short, but I'm so inspired with this today. And if you want to read more of this, head over to my blog, sarah-nagle.org. I'm happy to talk to you over there. sarah-daigle.org. Talk to you soon.